Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
What a wonderful name. And that it is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul? You know what, guys, I mean, you know, how many of you know that we're your spirit, soul, and body? You guys know that. We taught that in the church, and it's important that those three get placed in order. And what makes your soul well is when your soul is hearing from God. And you know that. Do you not see? I think in Proverbs there's a scripture. I don't even know where it's at, but I think it's a Psalm 119, and it says this: "As my soul cleaves to the dust." You guys ever read that? My soul cleaves to the dust. And what our soul likes to do is the worldly stuff. It likes to grab a hold of it and hold it and do things in the worldly way. And it's important that our souls are renewed by the Word of God coming into our lives and speaking to us. And it begins to take your soul and positions it into the place where it's supposed to be, where you are. Instead of being body and soul, like I think I saw some shampoo or something called Body and Soul or something. But anyway, instead of being just body and soul, what you become in line with the Word of God is spirit, soul, and body. And the body is actually the lowest, is the part that has actually no response until the soul responds to what the spirit is saying, and then the soul begins to speak to the body. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but I'm going to tell you something. It is the program of God. It's God. He speaks to you by His Spirit into your spirit. You, by you taking those words that He's spoken to you, you begin to absorb those into your soul. It begins to change your mind about things. And it begins to, and once your mind is changed, then you begin to speak to your body in the way it's supposed to be spoken to. Like when you're getting up in the morning and my back doesn't want to straighten up or whatever. You say, hey, knock it off. According to the Word of God, I'm healed. Hallelujah. And Diane, according to God's Word, you're healed. That's bottom line. That is top line, bottom line, and everything in between. Doesn't matter what your body says. The Word of God says you are healed. And every one of you in the house, same way. Doesn't matter. Does not matter what your body is saying to you. Take it. Say, hey, man, I don't care what you're saying. This is what God's Word says. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Lawrence, you're healed, brother. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Yes, it's well with my soul because what a wonderful name. Amen? What a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. We're going to take you in today. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Zacharias and Elizabeth. This is John the Baptist's mom and dad. And this is probably a year or so before the birth of Christ. And so next week we'll be talking about the birth of Christ. Is that okay? Just a little bit before the play. And then Christmas Eve morning, we will going to be going over the birth of Christ. How many know that God is with us, as the Word of God says? The angels rejoice because the Bible says that God is with us. Is that right? How many know God's with you? How many of you know that? I mean, you know, every hand in the house should be, oh yeah, man, God's with me. Both hands, exactly right. God's with me. Hallelujah. He has come. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll always, always maintain His closeness to you if you'll maintain your closeness with Him. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Your soul is in your hand. Hallelujah. You can listen to whatever the world says, or you can listen to what the Word of God says. Your soul's in your hand. And when you're listening to what the Word of God says, you're going to find that Jesus is closer than you ever imagined. Hallelujah. He is right there with you. That's a good deal. Hallelujah. So if you will, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Hallelujah. Title of the sermon is kind of... Title of sermon is Your Lot in Life. How many just love what you're doing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I better put my 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 8, 9. We'll get around the house, man. But we'll just say all of us. We all love what we're doing. Amen. Is that right? You love what you're doing, and what you're allowed in life is determined on not so much what you do, what you've accomplished, but your lot in life is determined by Him. Is that okay? Hallelujah. If you'll yield yourself to Him, you're going to find that your lot is even more better than you thought it was. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Seems like I'm getting into my sermon a little early, but we'll let me go to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read verses starting at verse 5. We're going to go to verse 25. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning, Father, for all that you've done, all that you're doing. Lord, we give you praise and glory, Lord, because you are worthy of our praise. Father, you are worthy of our praise. So, Lord, as we read your word this morning, Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. Help us, Father, to grow in you. Jesus, help us to know what it is exactly you have for us, Lord. We thank you for that this morning. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, God, in Jesus' name. If you guys agree with that, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. Everybody say well stricken in years. What does that mean? They got hit with an old stick. Is that right? Well stricken. Bam, bam. Hallelujah. They were old. How many of you old in this house? Not a one of you. Amen. You better say amen. Nobody's old in this house. Nobody. Hallelujah. I'll speak that to you. I'll speak that to you. And I will speak that to you. And they were now both well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Everybody say his lot was to burn incense. His lot was to burn incense. Okay? Hallelujah. Whenever he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him,
"Fear not, Zacharias.
Fear not, Zacharias. For thy prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son." Praise God. "And thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." Ooh, amen. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit of power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." "And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." That's, what a testimony, eh? Amen. Hallelujah. I wouldn't say that at all in my life. I'm an old man, and my wife, she's well stricken in years, man. Now, come on, man. That doesn't even sound good, does it? Hallelujah. No way. I will say my wife is... My wife is better not say that. My wife. I better leave it alone on my wife. Praise God. Glory to God. "And the angel answering unto him said, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak to you and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Verse 24 says, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach from among men. How many know it was kind of a shameful thing that a woman in those days could not bear a son? Is that right? And Zacharias and Elizabeth were both Levites. Do you know that? You could not serve in the temple unless you were a Levite. Elizabeth didn't serve in the temple, but the Word of God says that Elizabeth was a daughter of Aaron. Is that okay? She was a Levite. They were both Levites. And somehow God had seen fit not to allow Elizabeth to have children. But how many know God's got a plan? How many know that God always has a plan? Can I tell you, no matter how old you are, God always has a plan. How many of you are breathing? I've asked you that before. How many of you are breathing here this morning? And not very many are answering. So I'm going to say, man, if you're breathing, God has a plan for you. And your age has nothing to do with that plan. Is that right? Is that okay? Hallelujah. Just know that. Because I'll tell you, God has got you here for a reason. You're on the planet for a reason. And it's not so much for your reasons. Be nice, Henry. It's not nice for you. It's not for your reason. It's for his reasons that he's got you here. Otherwise, I'm done, Lord. Take me home. I'm good. We're done. Hallelujah. But I ain't done yet. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that? There's things that God has spoken into my heart that I said, God, I got to see this. This I got to see. Come on. So be that way with God. God, speak something to my heart. Show me what you got. And here Elizabeth says at the end, because she has become pregnant, and the angel said, you're going to have a boy, and his name is going to be what?
It's a good name.
Your name will be John. His name will be John. She says, thank God, he's taken away my reproach. Can you imagine all the years of her feeling that in her life? Reproach, reproach. Zacharias, you should have married someone else. But I love you, babe. See, but God had a plan. Amen. Hallelujah. Part of that plan was Zacharias' job. The Bible says in here in Luke that verse 8, it says, it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. His job was burning incense. And I can imagine, like, if he was out walking in the streets and maybe some people came up to him and, hey, this is a priest, man. Can you tell by the way he's dressed or whatever? I don't know what he might have been wearing. And maybe they pulled him and they said, hey, are you a priest? He says, yeah, I am. I'm a priest. And they said, hey, y'all. He goes, what do you do? He says, well, I work in the temple. Really? It's kind of like all of you. You got a little place where you work. And it should be important to you. It should be that no matter where you work, you want to glorify the Lord. The Word of God says, and whatsoever you do, do as unto the Lord. Not that you're trying to please men, but you're trying to please Him. When you begin to please Him, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get promoted, because being promoted, being pleasing to God, God will promote you. Promotion always comes from the Lord. I mean, everybody say amen. Promotion comes from the Lord. So here he's out, and they're asking, well, so you work in the temple? Yeah, what part? He says, well, I work in the holy place. How many of you guys know where that was? It was after where he worked was in front of that was this huge brazen altar where they would kill animals and they would sacrifice them. But he didn't work there. He was maybe with a team of professionals. maybe he was one of maybe 8 or 10 or 12 man team of priests that went in every day to do their job. Every day they would sacrifice. Every day. And where he worked was in the holy place. It wasn't the Holy of Holies. He couldn't get in there because he was not a high priest. He was just a priest. How everybody say, just a priest. Hallelujah. He was just a priest. He could not get in there because he wasn't a high priest, but he worked in the holy place. The holy place had three items in it. Three items. One item was the golden candlestick. It was sitting over in the corner. As you walk in, if you looked over to your left, you'd see the candlestick over in this side. If you look to your right, you'd see this other piece of furniture. It was called the table of showbread. It was where they would lay the bread of the fresh bread every day, fresh bread. But as you walked in, right in front of you, as you were walking in, that would be what was called the altar of incense. That's where Zechariah worked. His job was to offer incense according to the law. Let me show you the law. If you will, turn to Exodus chapter 30, verses 1. 7, 8, and 9. We're going to read verse 1, then go to 7, then 8, and 9, if that's okay. Here's Zacharias' job. Thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon it of shittim wood, shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of... I think I got into verse 2. I'm sorry. Verse 1 says, thou shalt make an altar to burn. God's talking to Moses. He says, I want you to build this altar. He says, to burn incense upon it. Now verse 7. Hallelujah. Is 7 up there? 7, 8, and 9. It says this. The ark of the... 7 says, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. Everybody say every morning. Every morning. And when he dresses the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. Next verse. Verse 8. And when Aaron lights the lamps that evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. One more verse, verse 9. You shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering upon it. This altar was specifically not for anything to be burnt on except incense. Nothing but incense. Nothing but incense. So if you were talking to Zacharias in the city, you were talking to him and say, so what do you do? I said, I burn incense. He says, oh, do you light the candle? He goes, no, that's Simon's job. Oh, is that right? Simon goes in, pulls a dipstick, checks the oil, makes sure the oil, I don't know. He makes sure there's oil in the lamp so they can burn. He goes, oh, okay. Oh, well, do you put bread on the table? What do you do? No, I don't do that either. He goes, we got Brother Joseph goes in there, and he puts fresh bread every day on that. Takes the old stuff out, puts new bread on it. Well, what do you do again? He says, I burn incense. Like I said, I burn incense. That's what I do. His job was to burn incense. It's cool, man. Burning incense. Hallelujah. His lot was to burn incense. Webster's dictionary says lot means the part in life that comes to someone without his or her planning. The Greek word for lot is langchano. Langchano. Can you guys say langchano? Langchano. And it means basically determined and received. Can I tell you that God determines your lot? Is that right? Your lot in life has been determined by God. And it's important for you to receive what He has determined for you. Is that okay? I will tell you, and I was speaking to a young man this morning. God has something for you, and it's greater than you've ever imagined if you will just take a hold of it, if you just go after it. Know this, that He has something for you. It's determined already. Langchano. All it takes is someone to receive it. If you will take it, receive it, you're going to find that it's the greatest thing for your life. I wonder what Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth thought about his job. Wow, what do you do? I burn incense. Wow, that's cool, man. Is that important? Oh, well, yeah, I guess. Do you know, just like any job, he had to be there at a certain time. Do you know that? In the scriptures, you're going to find that he burned incense, that the priests, it was taught all through generations that the priests would burn incense in the morning and at evening. In the morning, during the morning sacrifice, and in the evening sacrifice, he was there to burn incense. It's my job. It's what I do. And I do it well. Nobody can burn incense like me. Oh, yeah, there's shift. There's a little Robert on the next shift, man, but he don't burn it as good as I do. I do it good. I wonder if he was like that, or I wonder if he was, well, I burn incense. That's my job. Some of us are like that. How do you know that? Some of you are like, hey, man, yeah, I'm excited about what I do, even though it's just cutting hair. I just cut hair. Are you excited about it? Well, yeah, I get the chance to talk to folks when I'm doing it. Some of you, planner, senior planner, superintendent planner. Doing your job, just doing your job. It's crazy. God has so much for you, and it's even there in that job. How many of you know that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hank said something to you this morning, going to work building bombs to build up, blow up people. Come on, man. Tom. Yeah. Gary building houses. Steve working at Cat Empire. All you guys, everything that God's given you, God says, man, do it for me. Enjoy what you're doing. Let's go to verse 9 and 10 in Luke. Back to verse 9 and 10. His job was, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the time of incense. You see, there was a time that he needed to be there to make sure he was burning incense. Because I'm going to tell you something. One thing about burning incense, you just don't burn incense. How many remember buying those little sticks and sticking them in your house and burning them? And they make the house smell basically like smoke. And then with a little, you guys, anybody used to burn incense? Nobody. Yeah, come on. No. His job was not just to burn incense. His job was to burn incense at the time of prayer. At the time of prayer. When the prayers were going up. Hallelujah. Oh, man. He would light the incense that was on the altar. And when the people were outside the temple praying, while they were praying, their prayers were being mixed with this aroma, if you will, going up into the nostrils of God. That's kind of weird. And going up to God. Hallelujah. God smelling a sweet odor. Hallelujah. So anytime that incense was burnt, it had to be burnt and mixed with prayer. Psalm 141, verse 2. Can we put that up? David, I believe, recognized this. Psalm 141, verse 2. Says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as what? Incense. And the lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice. Hallelujah. I love, man. Yeah, I love walking around my house with my hands up. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for the church. I want to thank you for everyone in it, God, allowing incense to flow. Amen? Yeah, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at this verse. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of what? Of all the saints. Upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Isn't that nice? Incense. Incense. The smell of your requests, if you will. Oh, man. Woo, I don't know if, man, I just, the smell, the aroma of your requests before God. God, touch my grandson. God, touch my daughter. God, help my son and my daughter. They need work. God, whatever it is, there's an aroma to it while it's rising. Praise God. But there's something else about prayer and incense. I mean, prayer and incense, I mean, you can't burn incense unless there's a little bit of a what? A fire. Fire has to accompany that incense. It's the fire that causes that incense to smoke. It's the fire that brings the heat to that smoke and makes it rise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you guys, but I'm having fun with this. I probably because I know where it's going. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. I want you to look at this. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. I mean, odors. Okay, that's odors. That's a King James way of spelling odors. Which are the prayers of the saints. Do you see that? They had all these odors, which are the prayer of the saints. That word odors, I want you to take a look at this. Look at it real good. Excuse me. Oh. The word odors in the Greek. Should be up. The word odors in the Greek is thumiama. Everybody say thumiama. Thumiama. Aroma. Poof. Popped. That's it. It's gone. Just like mist. It's a smoke. It goes, comes and goes. Aroma. Thumiama. Aroma from a fragrant powder. Yeah. Praise God. Everybody say praise God. Man. Aroma from a fragrant powder burnt in religious service. The burning itself. And then the two words are incense and odor. See that word aroma, that odor, that word odor actually means incense. That's what it means. It is aroma from a fragrant powder burnt in religious service. How many of you guys ever been in a religious service where they're burning? I used to be an altar boy. I guess you guys know that. I used to be an altar boy. And being an altar boy, whenever they had funerals, they had this can. It was on the end of a chain. And as an altar boy, I would have to go around the casket. I hated the smell of it. I could not stand the smell of it. I don't know. Somebody might have thought it smelled good. But to me, I see a casket. I see this thing smoking. It smelled like death to me, man. I'm about ready to pass out. And I think the priest that I was working with, I think he saw me. He goes, "You okay?" I said, "I don't like this." He says, "Okay, go ahead, give it to me." And he went around. And that's incense in a religious service. Incense. But folks, how many of you know we're not religious? How many of you are religious in here? I'm not religious. I'm not. I don't have a religious bone in my body. I used to be as religious as I can, being a I have a close connection with God. That's what I got. And nobody around me, even though sometimes it seems like it, can stop that relationship that I have with my Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Everything I am is dependent upon Him. Is that right? Is that how you are? Is that what we teach here? That you should be independently dependent upon God. Not religious, just a love for God and a respect for God and a respect for His people and a respect for His Word and a respect for all the things that He's created for you to enjoy. Ooh, come on, man. Hallelujah. So I'm not religious at all. So the incense that I have, when I come to the Lord, the incense that I bring is a fire. It's a fire. I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, but I don't think I even finished the end of it. But I was, for a while there, I was having some dreams that were really kind of bothering me because I didn't know what they meant. And one of the dreams, I was eating. You guys, I was eating, and Rosie goes, "Henry, the house is on fire." And I look, yep, and I just keep eating. Wouldn't do nothing about the fire. Didn't run out for a hose. Didn't do nothing. Another dream later on, I was in the top of a building and people were running around looking out the windows and they go, "The building's on fire. The building's on fire." And I was eating. And I looked, I go, "Yep." And I just kept on eating and I woke up and I said, "Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you saying, God? What are you telling me, God?" I thought I was doing something wrong. I went to my pastor and I said this, and folks, this is why you never let anybody interpret your dreams. You talk to him. You ask him, "God, what are you saying?" I went to a pastor, hey, I told him my dream. He goes, "Well, you must be doing something wrong, bro." I said, "No, man." He said, "Because God sounds to me, God's going to burn things up for you. You know, that's what it sounds like to me." And I said, "Oh, man." So I called another and I called, talked to this one brother. And he says, "Hey, man, don't even tell me your dream because I cannot interpret your dream. You need to talk to him. You have a connection with him." Is that right? How many know that? You have a connection with God. So we just ask him. Come on. Is it that hard? It's not that hard. Ask him what he means. But I was reading, and I don't think I gave you the scripture. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. Let's see how fast you can get it up, brother. Pressure. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. I'm sorry. Sorry for doing this to you. Look at this. I was praying one evening, had been asking him about my dreams. Out of nowhere, this is what, and I wasn't even asking him about the dreams at the time when I was praying. But I was crying out to him. I said, "Lord, I just want to know what you got for me. I want to know what you want me to do." And this is what the Lord said. He said, "I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled?" And what he was telling me, what I knew he was telling me, was that because what I was eating was not just food, it was the Word of God. I was so consumed by consuming the Word of God that it was building a fire within me that I didn't realize and did not recognize. And let me just say this to you. When you come to God with a prayer and you need something from God, you know, can I just say this to you? It's time that you just stand your ground and bring some fire with that thing. "Lord, I know that you've said this. This is what you've said, Lord. And my God, you said that if I would listen to you and if I would walk according to your ways, you would give me the desires of my heart. Isn't that not right, God?" Bring some fire with your prayer. I mean, folks, we are not in a time of mamby-pamby prayers. I got that from Jimmy Swaggart. You remember Jimmy Swaggart? There's a bunch of mamby-pamby people. You know what? This is not the time for mamby-pamby prayers. This is a time where you know who you are in Christ. And you say, "God, this is what you said. And I won't look anywhere else because I belong to you. And I'm going to take this for what it is. It's the truth." Can I tell you that? Is it good? Amen. Is it good? Hallelujah. It's an odor. When you come, do you know that the Word of God says this? It says this: "The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force." How you present your prayers before God is so important to you because it becomes an aroma to Him that He likes. Can I say that? He likes to hear you talk like, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm listening for. I smell the aroma of that prayer right there. That's what He's looking for. Hallelujah. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. If you're taking notes, take a note. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. This is our power verse this morning. And the reason I picked it for a power verse is because it tells you exactly who you are. What's your lot this morning? This is what the Word of God says you are. It says, and from Jesus Christ, he's talking about, kind of broke into the scriptures right before, but it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Is that who Jesus is? He is. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Do you see that he says that you are a king and a priest? Do you see that? The king part in you is you make declarations according to the word of God. This is what God's word says. I'm going to declare that in the earth. You say what God is saying. Is that okay? You're a king because the king lives in you. But then you're also a priest. You have a job as a priest. Number one, we talked about the lamp that was in that in the holy place. You keep that fire going. Is that right? Number two, the showbread. That's the daily portion of the Word of God for your life. Take it daily, every day. Receive it. Take. And then the altar of incense. Let's say you've gone in, you've gone into the lights, okay, man. You got the bread and God speaks to you, man. And you go to that laver, you go to that altar of incense, and you begin to offer a prayer before Him. And now all of a sudden it becomes very fervent. Can I tell you, God's looking for fervent prayer. He's looking for prayer that is in a fervent heart that believes Him for the things that He's saying. How many of you know we can't go by what we see? You cannot go by what you see. You just cannot. It lies to you what you see. Even when you see something really good, can't go by that. You've got to go by what God shows you. You've got to. Is it cool what President Trump did? Jerusalem is now the capital. Woo, talk about fire some folks up. Is that right? People get all fired up, man. I'll tell you what. Praying for that guy. Amen? Praying for him. Hallelujah. But just know, folks, your trust has to be in the Word of God. Not on what's going on out there. It has to be recentered right back to where the Word of God is, where God's got you. That's where you got to be then. Just check this out. Romans 12:11 says this. No, I didn't give you that one either, did I? Did I? Okay. Romans 12:11. You're not slothful in business. But you be fervent in the Spirit. Fervent in the Spirit. Okay? God wants you fervent in the Spirit, not slothful in business. But He wants you fervent in the Spirit. And can you put up James chapter 5, verse 16? You're going to like this scripture. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent. What does the word fervent mean? Hallelujah. You're still taking notes. I hope you are. Did I give you that, brother? No. The word fervent is zeo. Spell it Z-E-O. Zeo. Zeo. It's kind of where we get the word zealous or zeal. It's the word zeo is fervent, and it means to be hot. Is that okay? Boil as in liquids, glow as in a solids. Hot. You know how when you get metal really hot, it starts to glow? You get liquids really hot, they have a boiling point and they begin to boil. The whole thing is you got to be hot. He wants you fervent in spirit, and the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous man or woman availeth much. It avails. Oh, my goodness. What I'm saying to you now is that, hey, take a listen to yourself when you're praying. Just listen to what it sounds like coming out of your mouth and picture this. What does it sound like to God? Is that all right? Does it sound like zeal? Or does it sound like squeal? Come on, man. What does it sound like when you're asking God for something? When you say, God, God, would you please? Or does it sound more like, God, I know you hear me. You always heard me. And this is my request before you. I believe that you're going to save my son. I believe you're going to take a hold of my grandmother and heal her body. I believe it, Father, because it's who you are. It's what you've told me to do. You've asked me to believe you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Does it have a little fire in it? Does it have fervency in it? So check yourself. Hallelujah. And see. So what is your lot? Zechariah's lot was to burn incense. Was it important? Oh, you bet it was. That incense was fire and aroma mixed with the prayers of the saints to go up before God and to present before God an odor that was well-pleasing to him. Mm-hmm. So what's your lot? As a king and a priest, no matter where you're at, well, I'm just a garbage man. I was telling the folks this morning that I had a friend that he runs garbage trucks. His family, they've been doing it for years, and it's called Diggins Environmental. I said, man, what do you guys do? He goes, we're trash guys. We pick up trash. I said, what? He goes, well, it's my lot in life. That's what he said all the time. It's my lot in life. What's your lot in life? What is that? Can I just say this? When your lot doesn't seem like a lot. Come on, man. When your lot doesn't seem like a lot, it's a lot more than you thought. Come on, man. What you do for God is so important to him, whether it be raising little children, whether it be painting or replacing tiles in the roof, man. Whatever it is you do for God, it's important to God. It's your lot. Do it with all your heart and watch God move in the works of your hands. Amen. Would you stand? Would you stand? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, we want to thank you this morning, Lord. Father, you have told us, Lord, that your ministers, and Father, I believe every person in this house is a minister because of who it is that lives within them. Jesus lives within them, and they are ministers for the kingdom of God. And Father, your word says that you make your ministers a flame of fire. A flame of fire is what you make them. So Father, I'm just asking you, fuel the flames in our lives, God. Lord, hallelujah. As we are stepping close to the end of this year, Father God, let those in our neighborhoods, let those in whoever around us feel the heat of the flame that you've got within us, Lord. We thank you for it. God, I pray for God's people that you show them they are in a better place than they've ever been in their life. And they will, see the good of the Lord all of their days. We thank you for it, God, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Praise God. Shake somebody's hand on your way out.